I believe that this is probably the best end time class that in the history of the world, at least since the third or fourth century.
Oh, brother.
Y'all are great.
Now, I tell you, here's, you know, and it's not all so much just, it's not all so much who we are as the fact of when we live. Because in Daniel chapter 12, it tells us that at the time of the end, this is Daniel 12 and 4, but thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased.
Amen.
Well, this is the time of the end.
Amen.
We are close to the end, and knowledge is being increased. We're not talking about secular knowledge. This is not secular knowledge we're talking about. This is not technical expertise and all of that. We're not talking about scientific knowledge. This is the knowledge of the end times. That's what Daniel was concerned with. That's what the 12th chapter of Daniel is all about, is the end times. And knowledge of the end times will be increased as the end times approach. And we're living in that time. And our knowledge of the end time and revelation of the end time is absolutely being increased. And this is a time when folks are going all around teaching on these things. Mm-hmm. Going here and there and everywhere teaching on these things. It's unfortunate that some of those that are going the fastest don't always have the most knowledge. But nevertheless, you know, there's a free exchange of ideas.
Yes.
There's a lot of exchange of ideas going on.
Yeah.
And that sets an environment where, where truth can you know sort of bubble to the surface, and you get discussion, you get controversy going, which is you get some good ideas, things that nobody has thought of for the last 2,000 years, and if you never discuss these things, never comes up. It just doesn't happen. You've got to discuss these things. You've got to discuss.
Amen.
Words count. Words matter.
Amen.
I don't know the times when Joanne and I have been sitting around the table talking about these things, and things come out, she'll say something, or I'll say something that neither of us have ever thought of before, and we'll, you know, grab the book and start shuffling through the pages, and we'll find all kind of scriptures there that we'd never seen them like that before.
Mm-hmm.
Got to discuss this. Got to discuss the end time.
Yes.
You're never going to understand the end times without discussing the end times. And it's not just enough to do it all by yourself. You need to talk to people. And that's why that's what we're here for. Praise the Lord. We're here to share and kick around some ideas Stir up your pure mind.
That's right.
Yes. Amen.
Praise the Lord. So anyway, this is a great time to be. It's a great time to live.
Yes.
And we're reaping the benefits of the fact that we live in this particular time. We're seeing things that former generations had never even thought of and couldn't possibly cope with. All right. Praise the Lord. What I want to do is I want to begin to, we're winding this thing down. We're probably not going to have but about three or four more of these.
Dude, what's wrong with you?
All right.
We're just getting started.
Just getting started? Well, we'll see. But there are some things I really want to hit on that I think is absolutely necessary. You know, I began talking about the pillars of the end times, the pillars of the end times. So there are several things that you just need to know and need to have pounded in into your brains and take, you know, deep root in your spirit so that no matter what comes along, you're not going to be confused and you won't get all, you know, off the track somewhere. So I'm putting together a set of questions. We had a set of questions that we handed out several weeks ago, and we're doing another set of questions. And I'm going to just sort of read through some of these, because I'm going to hand these out, not tonight, but one of these nights I'll hand them out. You can fill them in.
Test.
Yeah.
Review.
It's a review. This is basically, you know, for your own benefit. Keep them in a safe place, and keep them in the front of your Bible, or
amen.
Frame them, put them on the wall.
That's right.
Oh my!
There you go.
If I get an 8+.
There you go. So I'm gonna hit some of these things, and a lot of them I haven't talked about yet. But for example, now when does the Battle of Armageddon take place? That's right. Second coming.
Second coming. Yeah.
Before the thousand year.
Yes.
Before the millennium.
Yes.
All right. The Battle of Gog and Magog, Ezekiel 38:39, takes place when?
Middle of tribulation.
After the thousand.
You know better than that.
Where's your ruler? We should have brought it again.
After the thousand years. He's just jerking my chain.
What did you say, Nick?
Middle of the tribulation. After the thousand years, after the millennium, praise the Lord. All right, here's one. Antichrist number one is the beast out of the what?
Out of the sea.
Yes.
Because you said out of the...
That's right. Antichrist number one, chapter 13, Revelation, is the beast out of the sea. Antichrist number two, a.k.a. the false prophet, is the beast out of the...
Blank.
The bottomless pit, yes.
Blank.
Or out of the earth, yes. That's exactly right. These two characters will come from a revived Roman Empire. True or false?
True. The Vatican's going to be right on it.
False. False. There is no Rome in prophecy. Rome is not in prophecy. No, no, no. Rome.
Nick, you are losing your star.
He said the most liberating thing ever happened in his life was he got Rome out of the equation.
It's what he said. Amen. You heard somebody say that besides me?
Sure did, man.
Well, glory to God. I feel for him. I know exactly how he feels.
Rob's keeping.
Well, all right then. Praise the Lord. Absolutely. The Lord asked me a question one time. You know, why are you messing around with Rome? Now, you know, when the Lord asks you a question, he's not seeking information. And it really stopped me, and I thought, what in the world has Rome got to do with anything? And sure enough, I began to study it out, and the Lord said, every time you think you see Rome in the end times, it is Antichrist, it is not Rome, so why even bring Rome into the equation? Just forget about Rome. It's gone.
Yes.
All the Romans are dead. They're gone. Okay, and they ain't coming back. They're not like the 144,000. They're not coming back. Now, here's a good one. The Roman general Titus fulfilled the prophecy of the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. True or false?
False.
False. And false.
I've been there. It's not destroyed.
It's not destroyed. Plus... Okay, and the better answer than that is even if the Romans had destroyed Jerusalem in the manner that Jesus said that it would be, in other words, not one stone left upon a stone, if Titus had done that in 70 AD, it still would not have fulfilled Jesus' prophecy. Why? Because it was off the clock.
Off the clock.
The clock had stopped. 32, the clock stopped in 32 AD.
That's right.
And that happened in 70 AD. Mm-hmm. If it's off the clock, it doesn't count. It's got to happen again. It's going to happen again. Because it's going to happen on the clock.
Right.
It didn't happen on the clock.
But this time there won't be no catacombs or nothing left. Nothing left.
I suspect that is exactly right. There won't be anything left.
Nothing.
There won't be anything left. All right. If the prophetic clock had not stopped in 32 AD, what would have happened to Daniel's prophecies? Let me give you some choices. A, nothing. C, blood moons would have appeared.
You go across, Monty. A, B,
or
C, D,
E. D, they would have failed.
They would have failed.
That's exactly right. If the clock had not stopped in 32 AD and just kept on running, and nothing happened that Daniel said was going to happen, and nothing did, because there were only 7 years to go in 32 AD, nothing happened. Jesus didn't return. Antichrist didn't come. Nothing happened. Daniel was a false prophet. So obviously the clock had to stop. And it did stop.
It did stop.
Jesus. All right. Praise the Lord. All right. Now here's a good one. How many days were there from the triumphal entry to Pentecost?
41.
55.
55 days from the triumphal entry. Palm Sunday. There were how many days from the triumphal entry, which was Palm Sunday? The triumphal entry was Palm Sunday.
That's how many days we're short
of a full 7 year period.
That's right.
So how many days are there in any one of Daniel's 70 weeks?
360.
How many days?
That's 360 days in a biblical year, but there are 7 of those.
Yes.
In one of Daniel's weeks, there are 7 of them. 2,520. There are 2,465 days remaining.
That's right.
In the last 7 years. All right, praise God. I'll tell you what, you guys are doing good. The last day on the clock was?
Ascension.
Pentecost. The last day on the clock was Pentecost, and we're still going to get in. Well, I'm almost getting into it. I've said that several times, but I haven't really, taught on it very, very much. So we'll have to do that. So Jerusalem will be destroyed in the future, yes?
Yes.
Has to be destroyed in the future. Because Daniel's prophecy has not been fulfilled about the destruction of Jerusalem.
That's right.
So it's going to have to be destroyed again. All right. You must have a dependable rapture theology.
That's right.
That's true.
That is true.
Don't believe it.
The rapture is prophesied in the Old Testament, true or false?
True.
Absolutely true. Give me 2 Old Testament prophets that prophesied of the rapture.
Daniel.
Well, yes, he did. Yes, he did. Daniel prophesied of it. He certainly did. Daniel chapter 12. That wasn't the two I was thinking of.
She said Ezekiel. She was thinking Ezekiel. Did Ezekiel not?
I'm not sure.
It's Zechariah.
I'm not sure. It's Zechariah and Isaiah both
Zechariah.
Prophesied very clearly about the rapture.
So
I got to think about Ezekiel.
Well, no, that was my fault.
That was your fault?
It was really my fault.
Don't help.
No, it wasn't her fault.
Now, here's a good one.
I was thinking.
And we might stop right here. No, we can't stop here.
Okay.
There is a date certain on which the rapture must occur, true or false?
False.
False. Praise the Lord. See, you guys, you're really getting this stuff.
Right.
That was next Thursday.
Jesus ain't got him.
Next Thursday, yeah. All right, here's a good one. Here's a good one. Now, this is a little tricky. Be careful about this one. Saved people will be born again after the rapture.
No.
Oh, praise the Lord. All right, there we go. Glory to God. Didn't fool you guys. No people will be born again after the rapture. All right. Oh, man. Oh, this is great. I love it. I'm going to stop there and talk about something else.
He just said, ask my opinion, she'd get them all.
Talking about the rapture, and I've hit on this, I've touched on this a few times, but I want to really take a little more time on this. You may all be on top of it already, and maybe I'm just preaching to the choir here. I don't know. We'll find out. What is holding up the rapture?
The church.
That is true. The church is holding up the rapture. Because why?
Because the Holy Ghost is here.
Because we're supposed to go grab the people.
It's the grace dispensation.
Yeah, now
the Holy Ghost.
It's a little bit tricky. Now here's the way this works. Now this is a little bit tricky. The church is holding up the rapture. But in a strange kind of twisted way.
Okay?
It's a strange kind of twisted way. The timing of the rapture does not depend on a date on a calendar, but it depends on conditions on the ground. Now, here's the deal. Daniel 8:23 says, now we're talking about the Antichrist now. Daniel 8:23-24 says, in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. And his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. And he shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper in practice, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people, which are the Jews. Okay? The mighty and the holy people, they are called the mighty and the holy people at that time because the church is out of here. The church is gone. And so when the Antichrist arises, the church will not be here. So the Jews will be the mighty and the holy people. Okay? So the Antichrist does not come until the transgressors, which is the Gentile nations, are come to the full. Romans 11:25 says, for I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits. That blindness is in part happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Now, in other words, until the iniquity of the Gentiles has come to the full. That squares exactly with Daniel. Paul said that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the iniquity of the Gentiles comes to the full. Or as Daniel said, the transgressors are come to the full in the latter time of their kingdom. In another place, Paul said, evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. The reason why that Jesus doesn't know when that is because it is the Father's call to make. It is the Father's decision. The Father's decision, when the Father says enough is enough, it's time to pull the rug out from these guys. Then it's time, but it's the Father's call to make. And it depends on things going on down here. It depends on how people respond to the gospel or do not respond to the gospel. For example, remember the story when James and John got their mother to go with them to talk to Jesus, and said, "We have a request." That's right. And Jesus said, "What is it?" And they said, "Well, we in your kingdom, when you come into your kingdom, we want you to let one of us sit on one hand and the other one sit on the other hand." And Jesus said, "Now wait a minute, guys. You have no idea what you're asking." He said, what you're asking is not mine to give. Amen. It is not my decision to make, but it's the Father's decision to make who sits where. Right. That is not up to me. So that tells us that there are some things that are only that the Father has reserved in his power. That is not up to Jesus. He just simply does not know. Because the Father needs to make the call. And he's the only one that can make the call. And it's based on what's going on down here. Now, another one that throws a little bit of a twist into this is 2 Thessalonians 2:7, where it says, "For the mystery of iniquity does already work, only he who now hinders will hinder until he's taken out of the way." Well, that is the church of the Holy Ghost. So we are hindering, the Antichrist cannot come to the full as long as we're here.
I got a question.
Yes.
As far as being in the full, would that be, I would put it in graph, kind of a graph form. We have some of these preachers now that are saying Allah's the same as Jehovah. He's not. And they're taking a whole bunch of people with them this way.
I know.
Eventually, these two lines, the ones that are in truth and the ones that are in false, they're going to come like this. And they're going to meet somewhere in the middle.
Yes. Now,
but a lot of the truthers that we believe, we're either going to be killed or we're going to die.
That brings me to the next side of the coin, to the other side of this coin. What is the church going to be doing? While the world is getting worse and worse, what's the church doing?
Isaiah said, told us what we're going to be doing.
Are we going to get worse and worse?
No, Isaiah told us.
Or are we going to get better and better?
Isaiah said we're going to get brighter and brighter.
We're going to get... That's what we should be doing, is getting brighter and brighter. The church should be getting brighter and brighter. And as a matter of fact, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 13 says... Let's look at that. Ephesians 4, 11 through 13. Paul said, "For he gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." That's where we're supposed to be headed. Now, some folks have said, "Well, we need persecution and we need tribulation to perfect the church." No, the church is not perfected by tribulation. The church is perfected by the ministry.
That's right.
By the fivefold ministry, that's what perfects the church, not tribulation. Some of these post-tribbers believe that the church can't be perfected until it goes through the great tribulation. No, no, no. We're supposed to be perfected by the fivefold ministry. That's the plan.
The tribulation
will perfect. It'll get you out of here quick. Get you out of here in a hurry. Now, another scripture in Ephesians that's close to this is Ephesians 5:25. It says, "Husbands, love your wives." And all the women said, Amen. "Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." So that's what the plan is for the Lord to present the church to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy without blemish. That makes it look like the church is not going to be going along with the world and not going to be getting worse and worse. But if somehow or other, as the world gets worse and worse, the church is going to get better and better.
True believers, yes.
The true believers, yes. It seems to be the case. See, all of this, and this depends on the church. This is something the church has got to do. We have got, the ministry has to work. The ministry, in order to perfect the church, the ministry has to work.
That's true.
So the ministry has to be in operation. The fivefold ministry has to be in operation. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers have got to be stepping up to the plate and fulfilling their ministry in order for this to happen.
That's true.
So you see, it is like Brother Pierce's graph. I like that idea when these lines meet. That's when we want to look out.
Yeah.
And and the Lord weighs iniquity.
He does.
Just like the handwriting on the wall. Remember that story?
Yes.
The handwriting that came in the during that great feast at Belshazzar Hill.
That's right.
And all of a sudden, you know, they were having a deep dive, and they all of a sudden saw the fingers of a hand, and it wrote against the wall, on the wall. And it said, "You are weighed in the balance and found wanting." See, God is weighing iniquity. He is weighing the iniquity of the earth. He's weighing it. And when the Father called, when it's the Father's call to me. When He says enough is enough, that's enough. And a lot of things depend on, you know, how people react to the gospel. And whether we're preaching the gospel or not, we have to confront people with the gospel. If we don't confront people with the gospel, you know, then we're not doing our job. So it does depend on it. The facts on the ground are going to dictate when the rapture comes. And that's why, that's something that we can actually see and be watching for. If there was a set time that had nothing to do with the facts on the ground, what good does it do to watch for anything? Because, you know, you can't change it anyway, so what are you watching for? But anyway, all right, praise the Lord. So that's what we're doing. That's what's holding up the rapture, is the facts on the ground. When iniquity has not, the transgressors have not come to the full. Nor has the church reached that place where we're supposed to reach. Now, how long is that? I don't know. I don't know. It depends. There could be a lot of things, a lot of variables. But the whole idea is that there is not a set date up there for the rapture to take place, regardless of anything that's going. No. What we do matters, or what we don't do matters. It does matter what we do. We can change things on the ground. We absolutely can. Mm-hmm. So, all right, praise the Lord.
Did you see that missionary near thing that Ken Sculpton interviewed of the last program, where that one guy in Mexico got to his car and had a gun up to his side, had him by the shirt and everything, was telling him he was fixing to kill him?
I did not see that.
The authority of God. The guy pulled the trigger 5 times and nothing happened.
I didn't see it.
Oh, I did see that.
Praise the Lord.
That's
exactly what you just said right there, though. See, that's the reason why I was thinking of it, is because what you just said.
We're supposed to be able to change. We're supposed to change things. We're supposed to change. What are we doing here if we can't change anything?
What's the use?
What is the use if we can't change things? If we can't change facts on the ground, what is this all about? You know, this is not predestined, brother. we're dealing with creatures with free will.
Absolutely.